This is the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
We do have a big football game on Saturday. I don't know if you know this or not. NC State at North Carolina. Both teams are ranked for the first time since 1993 and only the third time since the AP started ranking teams in 1936. I feel like this should be more of a big deal than what it is, right? Like, there's no Tom O'Brien to stir the pot this week. There's no Everett Withers. There's no Russell Wilson. There's no Butch Davis. No Chuck Amato. I mean, where's the juice? There should be more. There's a national broadcast on ESPN on Saturday. Mike Golick will be on the call, and he is joining us on the OG tomorrow. Maybe he can add a little bit of spice to this thing, because it just feels like, for whatever reason, we're not in normal State Carolina week. So when this happens, you have to blame somebody. That's what we do in 2020. And actually, that's what we do in all years, right? When something's not right, we like to blame people. So I have a list of things to blame for the juice being missing from this State Carolina matchup. Let's start with the obvious, okay? Florida State, listen. You guys are terrible, all right? You're losing to Georgia Tech. You're getting squished by Miami. It doesn't seem like you like your coach very much in his first year. You're still getting penalized every other second on the offensive line. Yet, you decide, of all days, to show up last Saturday night at home against then number 5 North Carolina. Well, I can't blame Florida State entirely for being interested in playing that game. I can blame them for perhaps ruining some of the fun for this week, though. So let's start the blame there with the Seminoles, who won 31-28. They blocked a punt. Actually, they blocked two punts. They had a pick six. They pretty much had every break in the history of breaks. And luckily for them, as Mack Brown said, UNC ran out of time in the second half because they came back, end up losing 31-28. Sam Howell throws for 374 yards. Bo Corrales had himself an afternoon with 141 yards. Carolina's offense in the second half looked like, well, Carolina's offense, the one we had accustomed to see, particularly on October 10th against Virginia Tech when they scored 56 points and beat the Hokies 56-45. But consistency hasn't really been the mark of this UNC team. Struggled a little bit out of the gate with Syracuse, who's also not good. Beat them 31-6. And now, this is the part where you can't really blame Carolina, because they played on September 12th. Their next game was canceled because they were playing Charlotte, and there were some COVID issues for Charlotte. Then they had a week off, couldn't find an opponent. End up going to Boston College, who was relatively feisty. They gave them a game, 26-22. It was actually 24-22, with BC had a chance to tie the game on a two-point try, and Carolina returned it for 2 points of their own. So Carolina hasn't been all that consistent. We could probably blame Carolina for this lackluster buildup to the NC State game. How about Lumi Young. Should we blame him, Rand? We can. I think we can assign some of the blame for this lackluster buildup to Lumi Young, the Duke safety. Now, he did not intentionally try to hurt Devin Leary, but in the third quarter of their game last week, when Leary went to slide on a first down play, Young came in, hit him high. Leary ends up getting his left leg caught underneath him, breaks his fibula, and the NC State quarterback is now likely out for the rest of the regular season. He had surgery on Sunday. NC State announced he will miss 4 to 8 weeks. Well, there's 6 games left in the season, given that there's absolutely no reason to rush the your quarterback, your franchise quarterback, if you will, back from such a serious injury. I am skeptical that we will see Devin Leary within that 8-week period. Who knows how the bowl season will work this year, but I could see potentially if it was later in December, I could see NC State using Devin Leary, because remember, this is a free year of eligibility for college football players. Free is nice. Free is always nice, Rand.
I'm down with that.
So does
that mean we see Baby Finley in the next couple games?
It could be. Could be. And it's something we'll ask Dave Doran about in the quarterback situation. He's going to be joining us. But I'm trying to figure out who can we really blame for the just, you know, it's a little lackluster, this buildup to this State Carolina game. We had this on Monday. We had Dave Doran and Mac Brown, who share an agent and share a healthy respect for each other. I think that's part of it too, right? Like, we're used to Chuck Amato and John Bunning. They would arm wrestle. They would play dominoes. They would do anything to beat each other. They had a healthy dislike for each other. We don't seem to have that with the coaches this time around. And that's not always a bad thing, right? Which gets me to the next person or people we could blame for this week. Is it our fault, Rand? Is it the OG's fault?
Ours is in our show? What did we do?
So this week we've had NC State people say nice things about Carolina, and we've had Carolina people say nice things about NC State. We've recruited David Crabtree from WRAL to just voice over a wonderful introduction. Totally sincere. Not over the top at all. And I've dubbed it a week of rivalry, like, not hate. If I could say the word rivalry cleanly, I don't know, two times for the rest of this week, it would be two more than I've managed in the first 4 days of this week.
It's a hard word. It gets you tripped up.
And it's not even one, like, I hate to break news to you. You're listening to the OG. I am Joe Giglio, and I've learned this in my radio indoctrination, if you will. You might remember that I spent the first 24 years of my journalism career at the newspaper. And I don't know if you know this, Rand, but that doesn't require talking on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, right?
You can write, okay? that was my main form of communication.
Nice.
But the magic of radio, things that I've learned, is you can edit sound.
Thank goodness.
But when you mangle the L in the R at the end of rivalry, which I've done just about every time this week, there's just no software that can fix it.
Yeah, no turning back.
Or it could be a you problem. Maybe you're just not skilled enough.
Maybe I'm not that good of an editor.
Should I blame you?
Yes. That's
while we're blaming people for things,
sure.
Is that something I can hand out to you?
I'm fine with that. I can take it.
You're a team player?
I'm a team player. I'll take it. I'll switch the L and the R a little better next time.
If only I were so talented.
All right, let's go to the Heister Automotive Group hotline. We have NC State coach Dave Doran joining us. And Dave, we talked to you before the season started, and I was curious how, under some difficult circumstances, Tim Beck, your new offensive coordinator, could come in and really, you know, without much of a normal offseason, be effective with a new group. And damn if he hasn't pulled it off here during your 4-1 start. I'm curious, from your perspective, what has he been able to do under really difficult circumstances to have the success that you guys have had so far?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing, you know, him and that staff deserve a lot of credit, just building the chemistry they have with their guys. And it's challenging to go through spring ball and not know your players and then to not even have it. You know, he didn't get that opportunity not only to install what he does, but to get to know the guys. And so they had to do a lot of that on Zoom. And I think it's a tribute to those kids and those coaches for just really bonding. You know, he's built a cohesive unit. The guys play hard for him. He has a really good grasp of the system, and he understands how to teach it a certain way where it's not, for them, a lot of volume. It's a player-friendly thing where he can really tweak things and call plays off of plays without it being something they got to think a lot about.
And Dave Doran joining us here on the OG. I'm Joe Giglio, and he is on the Heister Automotive Group hotline. And speaking of challenges, now you won't have Devin Leary for the next 4 to 8 weeks. Probably, as you said on Monday, probably won't see him for the rest of the regular season. You've talked, though, all along about the importance of two quarterbacks. And first, let's talk about Bailey Hockman, because you won your opener with Bailey as the starter, played an effective game against Wake Forest. Struggled a little bit against Virginia Tech, but I thought against Duke, came in, made some plays for you. What his value has been for you guys, we'll talk about him first and then maybe what comes up after him.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm proud of Bailey for just being resilient. And, you know, when Devin came back, he was a great teammate to him. He continued to prepare himself. I think Tim has done a nice job explaining not only are they a play away from an injury standpoint, but we're, as everyone is, a COVID test away from changing your lineup. And so all of those guys have to be ready. And the way that Tim practices with the quarterbacks when they're not in, they're directly behind the huddle running the plays on air like they are in. And so all those guys have been continuing to get reps and go through it, and they've done a nice job. You know, Bailey has played really well at times for us, and I think now that he knows it's his show to run, you know, and understanding that the guys around him are really rallying around him in practice, I think it's been fun to watch that. A lot of the leadership has done a good job making him feel comfortable. He's having a lot of fun at practice, and look forward to seeing what he does with his opportunity.
NC State's 4-1. They play at North Carolina on Saturday at noon. Dave Doran is the coach. He is 3-0 at Keenan Stadium. Dave, one of the things that's really impressed me this year has been safety Tanner Engel. Just the way he's played through the hamstring injury that he has. I know he had to leave the Duke game and miss the Virginia Tech game, but it really reminds me of Matt Days in 2016, a kid who's really just poured it out for you. I know you appreciate that type of effort and sacrifice from a player like that.
Yeah, I mean, Tanner got voted captain for a reason. He's definitely a guy that is just a warrior when it comes to playing hard, and it's hard to keep him out, you know, but the hamstring obviously has limited him, and so it's forced us to have to play some other guys in the back end, and it's as good as Tanner's been, it's been great to see Devin Boykin step up and play the way he has as a freshman and see his improvement throughout the course of the year.
Other than health in the secondary, other than Tanner's health, do you think being relatively healthy has been one of the big reasons for your improvement in the back end on defense?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could say we were healthy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, shoot, we haven't had Tayshaun Smith or Chris Engram and Khalid Martin.
Relative health, my fault.
I mean, I think we got like 6 DBs that are out, you know, but I think it's more impressive that the guys that are there are just continuing to be able to play at the level they're playing, you know, and, you know, the D-line has improved, the linebacker play has improved immensely, and I think all of that stuff collectively helps. You know, you're just not putting a lot of pressure on any one position, and Coach Gibson's done a nice job of changing up calls so that we're not just sitting in one thing getting beat up on.
You mentioned the linebacker play, and Dave Doran, NC State coach, joining us here on the OG. Obviously, Peyton Wilson has been a standout for you. He also missed a game this year with an injury, but when he's been out there, he's obviously been a difference maker. This is something you knew that was coming when you first recruited him, and obviously he missed his freshman year with a knee injury. But just the play of Peyton and the type of attitude he's added to the defense, what has that done for you?
Yeah, he's super aggressive. He's a throwback player and plays with incredible effort and strain. I think the guys feed off of him. The linebacker group, you know, him and Drake and Isaiah are tight, and they play hard. They communicate well, and they're able to make plays, not just in their gap, but with their pursuit to cover up some things that happen in front of them at times. And that's what that defense is all about, you know, is getting speed on the field. When you go to 3 down, you're kind of giving up some size for speed and agility, and it has to show up, and we've been able to do that in the last 3 games.
NC State coach Dave Doran joining us on the Heister Automotive Group hotline here on the OG. And this is your 8th year, Dave, and obviously this is a 2020 has been a year unlike any other. I think we can all agree to that. But this has been a resilient group for you. Last week, you know, the start against Duke wasn't what you wanted, but they bounced back. Same thing maybe at Pitt, where maybe you think your guys would panic being down on the road to a ranked team, but, you know, Devin is able to march you down the field. The resiliency of this group seems to be a little bit different than others that you've had.
Yeah, I think that they really have bonded through all the stuff we've been through, you know, and from what we went through from last season, it created an opportunity for us to go through some shared adversity and come together and did some great team building things and leading up to spring ball, and that carried us into the quarantine period, which then put us into the social unrest. And I think all of these things were opportunities for your team to fall apart or come together, and our guys have come together. It's this really close group of guys. There's no, you know, offense, defense. And I mean, everybody's pulling for each other. They help each other in practice, and they feed off each other, and they lift each other up. I think we're playing good complementary football. You know, if one side's struggling, the other carries it until they can get back going. And last week we turned it over 3 times. We created 3 takeaways. They blocked the punt. We blocked the punt. I mean, I just think our team understands that whoever's in there next has to make the play.
Dave Doran joining us on the OG. Blocked punts have become a hallmark of your team. Also, goal line stands. What do you think is the biggest key to success on these goal line stands that you've had now 3 weeks in a row?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible to have 3 in 3 games. You know, I mean, usually you don't even have 3 in a season. You're lucky to have 1. And
yeah.
It says a lot about their toughness, for one. I mean, it doesn't happen without that. And then the second part is the discipline, because, as you know, there's probably 1 play action pass in those 3 or 4 downs that you have down there, and you got to be able to have discipline. I mean, we've all seen where you stuff them 3 times and then they throw to a wide open guy, you know, and our guys have done a great job of being disciplined and tough in a very difficult situation. So it says a lot about the backbone of that defense.
Dave Doran, before we let you go, you've had success in Chapel Hill. You've had success against the Tar Heels. I'm curious, though, this will be the first time since your first year that the game is not the final game on the regular season schedule. I know the ECU year, you could correct me there if you'd like, but it's a little bit different when you play this game in the middle of the schedule, right, than when you know that's how you're going to close out the season?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously rivalry weekend in a normal year is at the end of the season. But nothing's normal about 2020.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're really not looking at it any other way than opportunity to play the crosstown team, and great chance to go over there and try to play our best football of the year.
Dave Doran, NC State plays at UNC on Saturday at noon. Appreciate you, Coach, taking some time for us on the OG.
Thanks for having me, guys. Go Pack.
In these divisive times, it's incredibly difficult to get both sides of the aisle to acknowledge the other guys really aren't as bad as they make them out to be. But Ovius and Gilio are about positive vibes only, and they will not rest until they can bring NC State and North Carolina together to say nice things about each other. And if that happens, I am convinced hell will have frozen over.
Thank you, David Crabtree. And, you know, it has been a little bit difficult to get NC State people to say something nice about North Carolina and vice versa. But I have a feeling I might be able to get Mike Fox, recently retired UNC baseball coach, 22 years, 7 times to the College World Series, multiple ACC titles. Mike, first of all, congratulations on your career and your retirement. And thank you for joining us. But I have a feeling I might be able to get you to say 1 nice thing about NC State.
Well, thank you. Of course, you know, without the rivalry, without NC State, we wouldn't have all this fun. I've never understood, I guess, because I've been in it, you know, why there's been such hatred and animosity when it's all been good. If you don't have rivals, you don't have fun. And I love Elliot Avent. He's as good as they come, big hearted. He and I have just enjoyed competing with one another, have awesome amount of respect for him. And I've always loved the rivalry between North Carolina and NC State.
See, if someone like Mike Fox, who loves Carolina probably as much as anybody, can do it, then anybody can do it. Mike Fox, thank you so much for taking your time in this week of rivalry like, not hate. Lauren Brownlow, WRALSportsFan.com, from joining us here on this program, although my song choice might not sit very well with her.
You're just out here trolling me. It's fine. I get it.
Well, it's the Panthers and the Saints on Sunday, 1 o'clock. That game, you can watch it on WRAZ. And The Panthers are better than we thought. They're 3-3. The Saints probably are what we thought, right? They're 3-2. They're not quite the offensive juggernaut that we're used to from the Saints, though. I hadn't thought about this, Lauren, but do you think the Panthers have an advantage with Joe Brady this week and Teddy Bridgewater, two people who have spent time in the Saints organization?
Yeah, I mean, you'd think it would help, I guess. They probably know plenty about them as well, though, so might work both ways a little bit in terms of they know some of what Joe wants to do and what he likes to do and some of what Teddy's good at and not as good at. So that might work both ways. But yeah, I mean, I guess it can't hurt necessarily, although I guess the Panthers have spent most of this week working remotely, which is super great heading into a game where you play the Saints. Super good to be have a closed facility. That should go well.
Lauren Brownlow, WRALSportsFan.com, joining us on the OG. And Lauren, I don't have the bandwidth to follow NFL rivalries, if you will. I'm interested in fantasy football, right, and some gambling with the NFL. But when it comes to like hating another NFL team, I just don't have it in me. But I was curious, thinking of your time here on this show, why do you hate the Saints so much? And then I just looked at the Panthers' record against the Saints.
There's that.
They've lost six of the past seven. The one win was the one that actually cost them,
cost them
2018,
yep.
Final game of the regular season. So I know that will trigger you some. But seriously, what is the deal with your dislike of the Saints?
Some of it's the longevity. I don't really care for Sean Payton. Okay. I mean, he's even admitted I think it was some random practice squad player that the Panthers liked, and I guess they like had a point where they could get him on waivers and they were able to do or something like that. It was either that or like an undrafted player that they wanted to put on their practice squad. The Panthers liked a lot and he got him like literally just despite the Panthers. So the Panthers couldn't get him. Like, I just don't care for him very much. I the Bounty Gate situation didn't exactly endear me towards them. I didn't like the way I thought that they were a little on the dirtier side back then. And I mean, I guess they're a little better now, but it's not great. They also, they're like, God, what's the analogy I would want to use? They're the way people look at Duke basketball at home, right?
Okay.
That tended to be the way that their games were officiated in the Superdome, and that's why it was hilarious to me that they got all upset that they got a bad call go against them for once in their own building. It's like, wow, God forbid. Now you know how the rest of the world feels going into play you there. So yeah, like stuff like that. I mean, I don't even feel that way in Atlanta as much because the Panthers haven't had much success there either until recently. But like when you go to Atlanta, I don't feel like you're going to get all the calls. It doesn't feel like that. You're not going to get all the calls.
You're not going to get jobbed.
And they don't. Right. You're not going to. Yeah. And exactly. It's like they don't need the help. I also just like, you can never, even when the Panthers had a really good defense, like it just never get Drew Brees' little butt on the ground. And it drove me insane. And I was like, sack him. God, they just drive me crazy to watch. I don't care for them. And that's pretty much it. I'm sure some of it's the longevity though. I mean, the Falcons haven't had the same coach for that long for me to stick around and for me to dislike. I actually like the Bucks coach, you know, and I don't like Tom Brady though. So that helps me dislike the Bucks more than in past years. So yeah, but it's kind of rotated, I think. Like when you talk about rivalries, I think who the Panthers NFC South rival is has kind of rotated. It was the Bucks when I first when they first joined the NFC South. That was the hot rivalry and that was the team I disliked the most. And then it kind of shifted over time with Drew Brees and Sean Payton and company coming into town. So yeah.
Lauren Brownlow, WRALSportsFan.com, joining us on the OG. I am Joe Giglio. Joe Ovius is on a break today. Lauren, if I told you the Panthers and Saints have played 51 times, would you be able to guess what the Panthers' record is against the Saints?
It's below 500, right? Well, it might be closer to 500 than you'd think, because let's not forget, like, the Saints were pretty terrible for a while, too, before they got Drew Brees and before they kind of turned things around. So my guess is as close to 500 as maybe the Panthers a touch below. That'd be my guess.
Jonathan Rand, just as you cannot fool Chip Patterson on Big 12 receivers, you best not aim at the queen when it comes to the Panthers and Saints. Lauren Brownlow, the Panthers are 25-26 against the Saints. Hit the button for her there, Rand. There he is.
Yeah, I mean, that tracks, right? Like, people don't remember when the Saints were terrible, but that was absolutely a thing, and they were absolutely terrible for a while. And so it was a game that was a little easier for the Panthers to win back in the day. Obviously, it skewed the other way as of late. And God, if 25-26-1 doesn't just about, like, sum up the Panthers franchise in general, I don't really know what does.
Lauren Brownlow, WRALSportsFan.com, joining us on the OG. All right, Lauren, before I ask you about the State Carolina game, what other ACC game has an interest to you on Saturday?
So it was interesting. When I first looked at the slate, I was like, not any of them really. But Florida State and Louisville, for sure, intrigues me a little bit because, you know, the question for me with Florida State has always been like, will their defensive talent show up this year, right? Or are they just going to go through the motions they did last week? Can they do it again? And I don't know what Jordan Travis's health situation is either. I'd love to see him out there. He's been fun to watch. He was fun to watch last week, and he'll make the game more entertaining if he can't go. I don't know if that's as interesting to me, but that one definitely stood out some for me. And, you know, Virginia Tech Wake has a little intrigue for me, although not a ton. Wake played better than I expected, though, and I actually thought that, like, low key, other than Clemson's depancing of Georgia Tech, I thought what Virginia Tech did to a Boston College team that is not a great team, but, like, is a solid enough
spunky
team.
Feisty.
Yeah. Yeah. What they did to them, that I feel like kind of flew under the radar, because, like, looking at that box score, looking at the numbers they put up, finally, you know, getting Hendon Hooker in there and letting him go to work, like, that was impressive to me. And I think Virginia Tech might sort of be literally, like, putting it all together right now, getting healthy at the right time. But then Wake was able to put up a bunch of yards on Virginia, right? So, you know, or a bunch of points anyway. So you look at that and you're like, well, maybe Wake can do something. Maybe their offense can move the ball against Virginia Tech's defense. Who knows? But that one intrigues me a little bit. But yeah, I think it's Florida State at Louisville for me, because Louisville hung in with Notre Dame for way longer than I expected too.
Lauren Brown, WRALSportsFan.com, joining us here on the OG. She has a Sad Panthers column on the website right now. You could check that out. All right, Lauren, do you have a prediction for us for the Tar Heels and Wolfpack on Saturday?
Yeah, I don't remember what my score prediction was. I think I predicted like a 9-ish point game, something like that, 8 or 9, that I had Carolina winning.
You like the Wolfpack to cover the number then?
I guess so. Yeah, I because I do think it could be, you know, this NC State team, other than the Virginia Tech game, which that's long in the past at this point, they don't quit. They fight, you know, and I don't think that they're just going to roll over against North Carolina by any stretch. I just think at the end of the day, if Bailey Hockman plays the type of game he has played in his last two outings, I think North Carolina, who's been really eager to get turnovers, right? They've been really harping on this. They only have a couple of takeaways. I think that they will be able to get some of those takeaways. And I think North Carolina, while NC State's defense, I think will do some things against Carolina's offense. I don't think they're going to let them do whatever they want. I do still think Carolina will be able to score more points. And generally speaking, that's the team that's able to win football games. So,
Lauren Brownlow, you can catch all of her work on WRALSportsFan.com or on the Twitters. She's quite popular on the social medias. Lauren, I will not say what the other people normally say about seeing you. However, I will say I will talk to you on Tuesday. How about that?
There we go. That sounds good. Oh, can I add a prediction that Peyton Wilson will get a targeting call against Sam Howell?
Oh, a targeting call, not just a late hit or.
Ooh,
a...
No, you're right. That
seems
does
specific.
Add so much ambiguity.
I would just go with the 15-yard penalty.
Yes. Yeah, he's getting a penalty.
There you
I think
go.
That's happening.
There you go. Lauren, we'll talk to you on Tuesday. Thank you.
All right.
All right, it's Thursday, and every Tuesday and Thursday, we do a little segment we call "Am I the Bad Guy?" That's not really what it's called on Reddit, but look, we're FCC-friendly program right here on this radio station, so we have to clean it up a little bit. And normally, it's Joe Ovius and I. You know what? We're kind of middle-aged white guys, dads. We kind of have the same thought processes. So we've decided that, you know what? Sometimes got to go back into the office and find a different perspective, a different point of view. So we've done that with Celeste from Digital. Celeste from Digital joining us now for Am I the Bad Guy? And I feel like there's a pattern forming here, Celeste, with pets and our subreddit questions, but I'll let you take it away from here.
Thank you. Middle age felt generous, but I appreciate you bringing in my perspective. You're right. We do have a theme with pets, but this one I could not pass up. So the Am I the Bad Guy was, my roommate is aging and she has medical emergencies. She has seizures, confusion, and a host of other issues, but she actively refuses to take care of herself and continues to have emergencies. Every time she has an emergency, we, her roommates, are the ones who have to deal with it, and it costs me money in lost work hours. I've already had conversations with her where I had to establish boundaries, namely that her health cannot have a financial impact on me and I can't miss work. She has a pet fish, and every time she's been carted away to the hospital, I'm the one who ends up taking care of them. Honestly, I love fish, but hate taking care of them. It gives me anxiety. Fish are so delicate. Her hospital stays can be anything from days to weeks or longer. There's never any way of knowing. I'm not a pro bono pet sitter. I used to get paid a tiny amount when I did this, but would I be the bad guy if I asked her to pay me for all the days I spend taking care of her fish?
As usual, I have so many questions with this the background story for Am I the Bad Guy? Starting with, who are you living with? What is this commune that you're in with the elderly? Okay? So let's start with that. But are you the bad guy for asking if the person you're living with is sick and in the hospital and can't take care of their fish? It's not like you have to take the fish for a walk. Of course you're the bad guy. You're a horrible person. You want to be paid to sprinkle flakes into a fish aquarium? Come on.
I think the best part about this is that she has such an established relationship with taking care of fish that she can describe them as like giving her anxiety and being delicate. Like, you spend 20 seconds sprinkling things in.
Is that legit, do you think?
I would just like to know how she would describe her anxiety beyond fish are so delicate. Because again, like you said, you're sprinkling flakes in. That's such a limited time experience. Although the being paid part, I agree with you. I think it's silly, but just don't live with her.
That would be my original query. Like, where? What are you doing? Where are you living? Who are these people that you are living with? So, Celeste and Digital, you are young. You might be in a situation where you would have random housemates. If they had if they had asked you to watch their fish while they were infirmed, would you demand compensation from them for this?
I mean, it depends. Like, if you were my roommate, I would insist on financial compensation from you. But that's like more of a personal thing.
Right.
But roommates in general, which she did say roommates plural.
Right.
Which means there's at least two more of them. So even if they split the fish duties, that's like 3 days a week, which doesn't feel like a huge burden. So I don't think I would ask to be paid.
I'm H2O intolerant.
This feels like this Reddit, I just question the validity of so many of them, right? Because we had the cat going to the wedding earlier this week, which you somehow thought was okay.
Permission. She asked for permission, not forgiveness.
True, but there were so many things wrong with that one, too. Rand?
Yeah.
No one could possibly think this woman is not the bad guy in this situation, right?
Now that we're digging deeper into this with the plural roommates and stuff, I don't know. It's hard, too, because we don't know about the roommates, the one who keeps going to the hospital. We don't know about her conditions. So you're like, I don't know. I'm kind of with y'all.
To me, if you're going to live with somebody, there is a certain pact there that, yes, if you are sick and if something happens, I'm not only would I do my best to help you out, but yeah, if there was something that you cared about, in this instance, a fish, like, Rand, you have a cat. You wouldn't just leave the cat and not have anyone look after it. Like, Celeste, you have a dog. You wouldn't just leave the dog and expect to have to pay to somebody to take care of your dog, right?
Right. That's what friends do. Although, I do...
Are
I
they
think my
friends?
Favorite...
Are we missing that part of this equation? Are they
That's
friends?
That's true. I mean, you can be roommates and not friends, but I think she is insinuating that taking care of a fish is, like, costing her work hours, which I think is the most absurd part of this.
Okay. Well, Celeste...
It's a long 20 seconds.
It is. Listen.
She's got to clock out and then clock back in, and it's a lot for her.
Find the food, unscrew it.
This is all very confusing to me. I have so many questions. These Reddits just bring more questions than they do answers. Celeste, we got about a minute, though, and I know that you went to your undergraduate at NC State. and you are now in a graduate program at North Carolina. So you are uniquely positioned to say one nice thing about both North Carolina, and you get to say one nice thing about NC State. The floor is yours.
Oh, this is amazing. NC State is the greatest place on earth. That's my nice thing about NC State.
Okay.
That's
Celeste, the graduate student at UNC, saying that. Now, the NC State undergrad Celeste talking about Carolina. One nice
Carolina
thing.
Has a very nice shade of blue. Beautiful to look at.
Okay.
There you go.
There it is.
Well done.
Celeste from Digital, thank you so much. We will talk to you on Tuesday when we determine, am I the bad guy?
Bye, guys.
Let's go down to the Heister Automotive Group hotline and talk to Taylor Zarzer, Sirius XM PGA Tour Golf. He also does college football for ESPN and the SEC Network. Taylor, I want to talk to you about football. Maybe sneak in a little State Carolina question for you. But first, let's talk about Tiger Woods, okay?
Let's do it.
All right. So Tiger Woods, we haven't seen him since he missed the cut at the U.S. Open. He's playing in the Zozo Championship in Los Angeles this week at the Sherwood Country Club. He's won there before. I don't know, Taylor. I got a funny feeling he might show out this week. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, he is so familiar with that golf course. His Hero World Challenge was there for 13 or 14 years, and he won it 5 times. So he certainly had a lot of success on the course. He grew up just about an hour south of there, so he's extremely familiar with the property. And, you know, you mentioned his form coming into the Zozo. He doesn't have much of it. Well, last year he didn't get past the second stage of the FedEx Cup playoffs, didn't make it to the Tour Championship. And instead of going to the Tour Championship, he had arthroscopic surgery again on his knee and didn't play in a competitive event for over 2 months. And when he came back, he won the Zozo Championship. So, you know, I mean, I don't know that not having any form or good form really matters given what he accomplished last year. So I'm with you. I think he's going to have a good week. Am I going to pick him to win? I don't know if I'm ready to go that far, but Tiger's known to all of a sudden with no form show out in the past.
Taylor Zarzer from Sirius XM PGA Tour Golf joining us on the OG. I'm Joe Giglio. And you mentioned about Tiger, picking Tiger to win, but it seems like to me, Taylor, golf since the restart, since the COVID shutdown, has been really good. And it has been mostly the big names, Dustin Johnson, John Rahm, not Rory McIlroy, but Justin Thomas, all of the big, how can I leave out Bryson DeChambeau, who's putting his name on the map here. But does golf need Tiger even at this stage?
I think it always does, yeah. I mean, it's just he changes the game. It goes from, I know everybody's using the term inside baseball these days. It goes from a sport where everybody that already loves the game is talking about things like Bryson, who's the biggest story of those that always love golf right now. It goes from those people having a conversation to almost everyone having a conversation. And if Tiger's involved this weekend, has a shot, then you're probably going to get an alert on your phone and you're going to say, well, hold on a second. I don't really care who's leading the NFC least at 2-5 or 1-4-1 or whatever their record is. Let me flip over and see what Tiger's going to do. He's the only guy that really has that kind of power where you could switch off of, you know, a big college football game, Michigan-Minnesota Saturday night, or watching the late window on Sunday, the NFL, and flip over and watch Tiger. The Masters might be a different story, Joe, because it's a once-in-a-lifetime November Masters. Regardless of who's at the top of the board there in a few weeks, I think people will flip over and watch that. But for other tournaments, yeah, he does. He's still the needle.
Taylor Zarzer joining us on the OG. And before we get to football, let's talk about the Masters real quick, because I'm going to assume Bryson DeChambeau, who did win the U.S. Open, is going to be the betting favorite for the Masters, which, if you haven't been keeping up, is going to be played in November. I'm still curious, Taylor, how they're going to get all these groups in and just get the tournament in with the amount of daylight they're going to have. But that's just me.
No, it's a great question, because it's going to get dark just after 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to be teeing off at daybreak on Thursday and Friday to make sure that they finish. And then obviously with making the cut on Saturday and Sunday, it won't be as big of a challenge. But it is a good question. I have wondered myself if they're going to go off 1-10 on Thursday and Friday. And, you know, with
almost feels like they have to, right?
Yeah, it kind of feels like that might have to happen. But what you're saying about Bryson, I think is true. I think he will be the betting favorite. Jordan Spieth, recently I was listening to an interview that he did. Jordan said he thinks Bryson has to lose it to not win it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. Look, Jordan's won the tournament and should have won it more than once, but I still need to believe Bryson's chipping and putting is going to be as historically great as it was at Wingfoot to think that he's going to win the tournament. But where he's going to drive the golf ball is going to be shocking. I mean, you're going to see this guy almost driving greens, like number 9, for example, which is never a hole anybody would ever think you could get it up all the way to the bottom of that hill. He's absolutely going to do that. He's going to be playing chip and putt at Augusta National on 5 or 6 holes that have never happened before. But I still have questions about his chipping and his putting on a consistent basis. When it's on, he's going to win. But it's not always on, especially his chipping.
Taylor Zarzer, Sirius XM PGA Tour Golf, and the ESPN and the SEC Network joining us on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. All right, Taylor, you've had a truncated football schedule this year, but, man, you had one doozy of a game. I think it was your last one out, the Auburn-Arkansas game with the – what was it, a spike? Was it a fumble? Oh, my goodness. I mean, of all the games you've called, was that the most confusing?
It was a fumble. Let me make that really clear. I am still shocking my head at how that finished up in that game, and good for Auburn for figuring out a way to win it. They very well could be 0-4 right now,
right,
instead of 2-2. But yeah, that was very strange, and to not receive the snap properly and then turn around and clock it backwards, which is a fumble. That was a crazy finish. We had the Ole Miss Kentucky game the week before, where Ole Miss is Lane Kiffin's only win, still to this day, in overtime. And the first week we had South Carolina, Tennessee, and the ball hit off a South Carolina return man, and Tennessee recovered it and won the game. So all of the games we've done have been kind of crazy so far. But yeah, that Arkansas finish was nuts. And hey, former offensive line coach, you'll know this because you probably were writing about the Tar Heels then.
Yep.
Sam Pittman has done an unbelievable job as the Arkansas head coach. And before that game, Joe, I asked him, I said, who's the biggest influence? And he interrupted me. He said, Butch Davis, not even close. He said, he's the best head coach I've ever worked for in terms of a leader. I texted Butch after that, and Butch wrote me a Bible response about Sam and saying just how he thinks he's one of the best people in the game. And he's not surprised by his success. But Pittman has made quite a mark making his head coaching debut at 58.
Taylor Zarzer, before he went on to work with the PGA Tour and golf and Sirius XM and the SEC Network and ESPN, you were here, man, and you just mentioned Butch Davis and Sam Pittman. So we do
co-hosting shows with you on occasion.
That's right. Yes. So we have State Carolina game on Saturday. They're both ranked for the first time since 1993. What is your favorite memory of this somewhat, I don't want to say awkward series, but always eventful. How about that? What is your best memory of this always eventful rivalry between the Wolfpack and the Tar Heels?
Did TA get in or not?
Okay. All right.
I mean, I was standing right there.
Oh, were
right
you?
On the goal line. And I mean, that's actually the worst place to stand if you want to know the answer to whether or not he got in, because all you do is just see a sea of bodies colliding with each other at field level. But that was the craziest thing. I remember it was like on some Time Warner cable channel that nobody had access to.
It was pay-per-view.
You kind of had to be,
it was
be
pay-per-view
at the game, you
yeah.
know, in order to – yeah. And but, yeah, that was a crazy moment. Two bad teams, you know, that hate each other, hated rivals. And I think it's one of the more untold stories in sports nationally is just how much these two teams don't like each other. I think everybody – in the Triangle certainly knows that because they live with it every day. I'm glad it's on ESPN on Saturday because I it needs to get some more national attention. I get the Duke Carolina stuff in basketball and how much coverage that gets nationally, but this is the game in this state when it comes to college football, and that was an incredible moment and one that was quite controversial. You know, Joe, I don't know how the Pack's going to win this game without Leary. That's a big blow.
Yeah, it's a tall order for NC State on Saturday because, as you know, too, this is really a a talented Carolina team, especially on offense, one that a type of explosive offense that they haven't had a lot of. So I expect them to bounce back after the way that they played at Florida State. But Taylor Zarzur, you never need to bounce back. You can listen to him at SiriusXM PGA Tour Golf or catch him. I love watching the condensed version of SEC games, the replay games. And anytime I hear your voice, even if it's the South Carolina spring game, I'll stop and watch about 5-10 minutes of it. So always appreciate your time, Taylor.
My man. Thanks, Joe.
It's time to play You're Full of Shit, Giulio. Listen, I've known Joe has been full of shit since 1975, so this is old news to me. Here's Joe Ovius with the rules, but I can already tell you, Giulio is definitely full of shit, and I should know, I'm his mother.
Thank you very much, Nora. I am not Joe Ovius, but I will try to do my best Joe Ovius impression. That's right. It's time for You're Full of It, Giulio. Joe Giulio has his yellow pad ready. He has his stats. He has his trivia questions. Now, your job is if Joe Giulio says something that you think is true, don't say anything. Let it go. Say nothing. But if you think what Joe said is a lie, you think he's full of it, shout out your name and let Nora do the rest.
You're full of s***, Giulio.
All right, first up, we got Jordan and Wilson. Jordan, what's up, man?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, man. Hope you are. Next up, we got Thomas and Raleigh. Thomas, how's it going?
What's up? Doing good.
What's up? We got Sam and Raleigh third. Sam, how's it going, buddy?
Great, bud.
Good, good. Y'all understand the rules of the game?
Yep.
Yeah.
Everybody good? Yep. Okay. All right, we're going to turn it over to Giulio. Giulio, buddy.
Here we go. Wake Forest is the only ACC team that NC State has a winning record against. That would have been a good time for Noro.
Oh, no!
You're full of s***, Giulio.
NC State has a winning record against Wake Forest. True, but the Deacs aren't the only one. All right. Wake Forest and Virginia are the only current ACC teams NC State has a winning record against.
Sam.
You're full of s***, Giulio.
Do you like burritos, Sam?
Sam.
Yes.
Do you like queso?
Yes.
You got yourself a $20 gift card to the original Flying Burrito because while Wake Forest, NC State does have a winning record against Wake Forest and Virginia, they're also 11-2 against Syracuse, a current ACC member. So, Sam, thank you for being a regular Joe. Thank you for playing. Stay on the line with Jonathan Rand, and he will get your information so we can get you the $20 gift card to the original Flying Burrito.
Appreciate it.
You got it.
Here we go. It's time for Rant 2.
Acapella the news.
Yeah, as you said, Giulio, it's rivalry week. So we've talked about T.A. McClendon. We've talked about Russell Wilson's Hail Mary. We've talked about not punting to Gio. But today, we've got to talk about that year in 2018. And was there an end zone fight or wasn't there? Yeah, sorry about it, everybody.
Everybody was end zone fighting. Those blows were fast as lightning. The celebration was inciting. Had the reporters writing.
Like you.
It was caught at Finley North, as Finley said in jest. Yeah, those years for UNC, they really weren't the best. But there wasn't a bra Larry Fedora swore. Yeah, no one cared because he was about to be shown the door. Everybody was in zone fight.
Sorry, Larry. My bad. Yeah, there was a fight. It happened.
Records are made to be broken. You'll have to forgive Ted Brown if he thought he was the exception to the rule. Brown ran for 4,602 yards in 43 games in 4 years with NC State. He set the ACC's career rushing record in 1978. By comparison, the ACC career passing yardage record has changed five times between 1992 and 2003. The ACC career receiving yardage record changed four times since 1998. Brown's mark has stood the test of time. until now anyway. Clemson running back Travis Etienne needs 129 yards to push Brown's name down to the second line in the record book. If Etienne doesn't get it this week against lowly Syracuse, the record will fall next week. Notably, Etienne has already played five more games than Brown did in his career. Bowl statistics didn't count in career totals for players of Brown's era either. But amazingly, even though Brown played fewer games, he had 275 more carries than Etienne. That is durability. And 42 years for a record? That is a heck of a run by Ted Brown. That's your shot of Joe to go. Don't throw it away.
I am not throwing away my shot.
You've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio Show Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 3 p.m. And you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL SportsFan app. Or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.